Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. I used to say this all the time, just as a sarcastic remark. And so maybe you can appreciate this, and maybe, feel free to say this, or feel free to, copy things that I say, as long as it's not copyrighted. But my point is this: there's no way, out of everything I see and in my brain, that, is capable of doing cognitive function, that my analysis on what we are seeing, there's just no way this train is going to get back on the track by itself. As a matter of fact, I see that this is one of the reasons why we're covering the presidential election. And the reason I have to cover the presidential election is because so many people believe that we have a king. So many people believe that the president possesses these powers, and nobody understands the power that the states have. So before I get into, the summary and kind of closing up on the candidates du jour, because who knows, things may change. And as a matter of fact, Romney is trying to actually, whittle the field down so that there is a better competition against Trump. Now, I will tell you that there was a point in time when Romney was running for president. I was 100% behind him. I didn't have a problem with his positions. I didn't like many of his positions, but I didn't like Ron Paul. And it's not that I don't like him. I just think that he would have taken America in the wrong direction, and it wouldn't have been for the right reasons. I mean, in some ways, some of his policies would have been very similar to Joe Biden's, because he was, he believed that America shouldn't be entangled in, in protecting our commerce, that we shouldn't be out on the seas doing what we're doing. At least that's how he, and the way he described history, like, the framers were, he used a term, and I won't use the exact same, so let me paraphrase, but Ron Paul actually, pointed to the framers as non-aggressive policies. I mean, he was literally speaking to the libertarians, and he really had the libertarians behind his movement. And at this point in time, the libertarians had literally, I'll just say, they crossed over this threshold of going from liberty-minded to anarchy. In other words, freedom, because there's a huge difference between liberty and freedom. And I hope everybody, at least this audience, should have a very good handle on why liberty is antithetical to freedom, because freedom doesn't embrace the concepts of accountability and responsibility. Just freedom. I can do whatever I want to do, and I shouldn't have to suffer any consequences. And this is what we see in the Libertarian Party today. We see that, hey, I didn't buy into this social compact. Well, it doesn't matter if you did or not. We were given a system, and if you don't like it, there's a mode to protect you from it, or there's a mode to change it. But bottom line, it would be a democracy, and it would be a fatal blow to what the framers did if these libertarians had their way, because they want to basically move us to where, hey, if you don't want to have anything to do with it, then you don't have to pay taxes, whatever you want to do. In other words, anarchy. And anarchy is the petri dish for despotism. The framers were very, very clear that, and as a matter of fact, I think Madison talked about the teetering of government. And maybe it was in John Adams' It Must Be a Republic article that he published. That's not the title of it, but it was right after we declared independence, when people were going, they're trying to figure out what kind of government are we going to have. Now, they had already formed the Articles of Association, and they had already basically created a confederacy, and they already recognized that this was a republic, but they didn't know whether it'd be a confederation or a federation. And at that point in time, they clung to state sovereignty and they clung to a federation. But bottom line, they basically identified the fact that they needed to have a republican form of government to where it was representative and not a democracy, because Adams, they all were basically pointing to the fact that if you have a democracy, you literally teeter back and forth. And it doesn't take much to start the teetering, like a bad year in production of food. As soon as people are starving, they want government to solve the problem, and they start voting for themselves to have government give them stuff. And the framers were very well apprised of this concept that came from, I'm really bad with names, Lord, not Acton, the cycle of democracy. And I write about it in my book. I got his name in my book, but Tytler's Cycle of Democracy, Lord Tytler's Cycle of Democracy. And it takes usually 200 years for a nation to collapse based on this cycle. And it was historically founded on, as you looked at new nations, most nations would basically, crumble or capitulate within 200 years, because through the process, the people would realize that they could just vote to feed themselves from the public purse. Well, if you look at our Constitution doesn't allow that. It still doesn't allow it, but it's happening. It's happening because of our illiteracy, and we're in this situation because we have been indoctrinated to become illiterate and expect government to fix all of our problems. So anyway, as I look out my window, I see no sign that government is going to start doing the right thing. As a matter of fact, all indications are they are going to continue to do the wrong thing. How arrogant of Congress, to say they need to seize and regulate AI, artificial intelligence. Every state in this union needs to establish their own laws and guidelines for the use of artificial intelligence in their state. The heck with the federal government. I wouldn't even recognize anything that they're doing. At this point, your laws must and will supersede them, especially as more and more states do this. But there needs to be a bill that basically stops and does not allow AI to be used, because AI is strictly, dealing with dark and evil things. It's one thing if, AI was strictly, used for the Bible, but there's still dark stuff in the Bible, where it can easily, the people who are using it and directing it will not use it for righteous purposes. And so what they'll end up doing is they'll either steal content, they'll steal intellectual property, and or they will do all sorts of bad things. There's just no good's going to come of this. I know lazy people can do a lot less if they have AI help them. And there's something to be said for actually having, earning an honest wage for an honest day's work. There is something to be said for that. And when, you happen to be the first one. Now, let me separate this, because the reality is this is going to take off. And the reality is this may be, just like we see in the movies, this may be one of the final blows that kind of pushes us to the brink before Christ comes. I will say this, and, if this was a different point in time, if this was the 60s and this new technology, let's not call it AI, but just new technology was coming forward, if I was a professional investor advisor, I would tell you, jump into this, but jump in and into the right, into the right areas. Do your due diligence, because this is going to take off. IPOs are going to occur. As we've seen these different revolutions of technology and stocks, just boom, this is another one of those technology booms. And so I would tell you that that would be where I would, you know, throw some money in, but I would not do that now. And as a matter of fact, the more money you put into the market, the more money you have in the market, the more you stand to lose, because the market is fully controlled. Even IRAs are controlled, but I mean, it's not like they can take your money away from you. They just make it disappear. And that has happened. I believe it happened in Argentina, and I believe it's happened in other spots of the world, like Greece and so forth, where, you know, the government just basically capitulated. So folks, for what it's worth, it's now or never. And before we really dive into the kind of the summary, because we're all I've got to do is summarize, and I started that in last Friday. I've gotten a lot of different feedback, but some of the things, because I get poked on this, but some of the things that I think is really, really important is let's look at what everybody's saying regarding Hunter Biden. And before I do this, let's lead into this. We have a petition on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Go to the petition page. The site menu is on the right. We don't want to lean to the left, so we put the site menu on the right. And so there's a reason for that, right? I mean, we want you to think right. We don't want you to think wrong. So go down the site menu and click on the little button that says petitions. You click on that, and that will take you to the petition page. Petition number one on this page is the execution of the 12th Amendment and will remove Hunter Biden. People are still blown. I run into people that are, you know, get blown away. And so there's so many people and so much focus. There is so much focus right now on, you know, this election integrity, when in fact the best way to actually, you know, take back the election is to let everybody recognize what the heck's happened in the states. The states passed laws to allow this co-opting and basically this undermining and the stealing of our election. And it was all unconstitutional. And if we use the Constitution, this is how we unpeel this. But nobody's using the Constitution. Everybody wants to fight, you know, voter fraud and election fraud. How about the constitutional violation? There, I don't know how many states. If your state has actually undone what they did in 2020, I'd be surprised, because that's how progressivism works. Other people do the bad work or the heavy lifting, and then when our legislatures come in, they do not undo it. So they leave this travesty in place. And so 2024 is going to pan out the exact same way, until people start realizing that we have an unconstitutionally seated president. 31 states violated the Electors Clause or the Electors College Clause in Article 1, Section 2. Only state legislatures can change, you know, the process of choosing the electors. Now, to be clear here, because people say, oh, well, the federal government can actually dictate the place, time, and manner of a federal election. No, 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 no. That's only for senators and representatives. So, in other words, that only applies to the election that occurs in the off season. In other words, not 2024, it happened in 2022, where they could have actually, instead of for the states, established a place, time, and date. Now, it's just, it's perfunctory now. We always do usually it's the first Tuesday, sometimes that changes, but there is a process of which Tuesday of the year, everybody knows when you look at the calendar, that's going to be election day. So the time and place, you know, the places are what's changed, but the time, that hasn't changed. We all understand the time when the election is to occur. The manner is really what's important, and that place is associated to the manner. Do you go to your precinct polling place and vote? Yes, that's how it should be done. But instead, they have you basically mailing this stuff in, so they have full control of the counting of the ballots. Remember, it was Stalin that basically said, I don't care how the people vote. I only care as to who counts the ballots. because we can create the outcome we want if we control who counts the ballots. If that makes sense, folks, then you can see why it is paramount that we undo what those state legislators did. So when we look at what's going on and we look at, you know, how the federal government at this point in time is, you know, basically running, and I'm going to use the word correctly this time, running roughshod over, and I'll just say that not just the federal government, very specifically, the progressive communist machine, the globalists in our federal government are running roughshod over the Constitution, the people, and those who should be actually stepping up. And I have no idea why the Republicans aren't stepping up. Congress should actually step in and basically appoint and demand a special counsel. I mean, you hear people talking about this. But more importantly, the states need to be demanding that. If the states actually started buzzing, and I'm not talking about the people, I'm actually talking about state legislators. If state legislators actually started, and to be clear here, not just state legislators, but state legislators actually coming together as a legislature and doing a resolution that Washington must not allow a sitting president to have any of his fingers or appendages or any involvement. In other words, it needs to be taken away from the Department of Justice and those people who are serving him. And what they need to do is they need to demand that an independent special counsel be convened. And as a matter of fact, the states should demand that the states drive who's going to do that instead of Congress, because there's way too many people in Congress that actually, you know, are a part of the problem. They're swamp dwellers, swamp creatures. So when we look at this, and as a matter of fact, if Congress fails to actually do the impeachment, actually, if we can't get the 12th Amendment, then the next best thing is to demand. And so this is why I've said this before. The states should have a mechanism of demanding the impeachment of the president. Because, see, the federal government is not going to, you know, slap its own hands when it is exercising warfare against the states. It will justify everything it's doing. This is why the states need a mechanism to basically say, you're not going to do it, we're going to do it. And this really will require an amendment to the Constitution, because right now, currently, the Senate actually, you know, exercises the trial. They're the ones that actually, you know, the House does the investigation, they present the evidence, and they do the indictment. Then the trial goes to the Senate. And the Supreme Court Justice, which is a hack, he's a shill, John Roberts, we can't trust him. So I believe it needs to shift to the states. And I believe that the states can easily come up with a mechanism of setting up delegates and actually convening the trial to impeach the president. Because I believe that those who dwell in the swamp, and if you really think about it, in this Republican form of government, if you look at each state having the same, because the Senate, it's equal suffrage, right? Well, we already know the states do not have representation. And because of that, and because the Senate has turned its back on the state legislatures need to start standing up and start to do some of the things that we'd expect the Senate to do. In other words, there's a better likelihood to moving everything that falls under the Senate to the state legislatures and actually having that done virtually, because it can be done. But I would much rather just undo the 17th Amendment. And we have an article on our Constitutional Articles page recalling rescinding the 17th Amendment. We can actually undo the 17th Amendment. That's one thing that can be easily done, but it has to be done by your state legislatures. If you haven't noticed a little theme here, just in today, and if you listen to the show on a regular basis, it can be done by your state legislatures. They have all the power over this Constitution because it's their compact. It's theirs. They own it. They wrote it. Even though it's a perpetual entity, it's still theirs. Every state that came into the Union became like an original plank holder. They have equal footing in all aspects. Anybody that says otherwise, and anybody that tries to read into statute and some of these concocted colors of law, or these bogus laws that they've created that actually, you know, diminish the sovereignty of a state, that's unconstitutional. They don't have that authority. Every state has equal footing and must be treated equally. That's the whole point of the Uniformity Clause, which is why the 16th Amendment is a huge problem. But I'm digressing. The reality is that the federal government can be reeled in by the states. The federal government should actually be pushed, and the state legislature should be pursuing and guiding and directing both the Senate, the House, and that federal government. So let me do a real quick thing, because I talked about this, because there's a lot of people that say, well, we've got to have a revolution. But this is, you know, the only way we can do this is by, you know, using, you know, deadly force and what have you. And so I need to do a go back on forcing a revolution, because I wanted to provide a little context to this. A revolution at all costs must be avoided. And this is because you got to understand who's driving the narrative on both sides of this revolution. You know, we want to use force to invoke communism. We want to use force to stop the communists. Both sides have been co-opted and are being controlled by the globalists. And so the enemy is driving what we're seeing and this push to actually create a revolution. And the enemy will exploit it, just like the enemy tried to exploit the French Revolution. However, they've learned their lessons since they've been doing these revolutions, and I'm here to tell you. You see, they actually go through and they say, okay, what did we learn? Okay, this didn't work, that didn't work, and they're getting better at these processes. And it's just a process to them, how to topple governments, how to control them, and how to get what you want out of the government. And so the only outlier is the people, and the best way to control the people is to throw them into an anarchal state, because then the people have lost control, because it's now chaos, and chaos does not serve this republic. So if you look at the French Revolution and what really happened, the communists in the communes were really trying to move this towards the utopian communist society. They didn't have a communist manifesto. They didn't have a guidebook. So what ended up happening was that when it went to chaos and when they started disbanding and basically chopping off the heads of the French government, what ended up happening was, instead of it going into communism, a despot appointed himself, or actually with demagoguery, Napoleon Bonaparte rose and seized the power and basically pushed the French Revolution, or this communist revolution, out the door, and he seized everything and started ruling France from that point forward. And so France went from a ultra civil society, supposedly, you know, where they were basically, they collapsed. Folks, if you look at everything that France was doing prior to going into this revolution, they were ripe for that revolution. John Adams, in his communications to Abigail Adams, clearly wrote when he was in France, when he first saw France, and he saw how many children were in the orphanages, and the one orphanage he saw in Paris, this was only one of them, he said, in this one orphanage, there are more orphans here than throughout the colonies of the United States, or throughout the colonies at that point. And you know, acknowledging that there were other huge orphanages. Well, why did they have so many, you know, babies that were orphans, unwanted children? Oh, because they became immoral. They started having, you know, sex out of wedlock and all of those things. And so they had basically thrown away their morals. I mean, France was actually leading in the Enlightenment in the 1600s with Sir Isaac Newton, and the coming of, you know, the changing of laws and so forth with Sir Isaac Newton. And then what happened? Look at what happened. Folks, we're at that point today. The communists are already here and they're pushing for this. We have to do everything we can to avoid this, and we have to use the Constitution as our weapon, not guns. We'll be right back after this promo.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I think I probably was babbling a little bit already about AI, and I told you I wanted to touch on that again, really. And this is why. Because AI becomes a absolute threat to liberty. And there's no doubt in my mind that big tech, as they start implementing this, and they're actually going to be setting up standards. And it's going to be called probably, you know, firewalls. It's going to be called for safety purposes or what have you. They'll want everybody and the federal government, if they take control, they'll make sure this happens. They'll have a back door to the AI, you know, entities, what have you, whatever, you know, however you want to talk about this. This is something I can't speak in technical form because it's still, you know, it's a wild, wild west. But bottom line, they're going to create these things. It'll be back doors where big tech and, more importantly, the Chinese Communist Party will be able to guide, seize, and control these things. And our own government is basically going to undermine us and actually allow this stuff to happen. And so states need to put forth legislation. You know, I keep on saying this, and I want to emphasize this. We need to start really properly positioning ourselves on China. And we have to acknowledge the fact that big tech is in bed. I mean, they're stuck in bed with the Chinese Communist Party. They're all in. So states need to put forth legislation to identify and cut all of our dependencies on China, as well as actually, you know, creating legislation regarding AI, that AI is not to operate in their state. States have the sovereignty over everything that happens. They should not allow the federal government to dictate anything. And as a matter of fact, if the AI is being, if they start making laws against artificial intelligence and its uses on any products or anything coming into their state, then I'm telling you folks, you know, we're actually going to be able to, you know, kind of create this, I'll just say this buffer, this barrier, because the federal government is going to do everything they can to make sure that they have their hands on the reins and actually drive this. And actually, they're being stooges for this, for the globalists, and the CCP is just the front head. It's just the tip of the spear for the globalists. The globalists are pulling all of these strings, which is why we need to actually start going after many of the globalists in America. You know, I'm okay with, you know, if you have a long list, and we can easily go to the, you know, the donors to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Open Societies with Soros, all of these different, if we wanted to start creating a list, then we would actually have those people who need to be actually, I'll just say, deported if they're Americans, and they're going to lose everything because they're actively supporting an insurrection against our Constitution and against our sovereignty. And so you can't tell me Bill Gates is doing anything other than that. He's actually out speaking to the world in what direction we need to go and what they're going to do. Well, as far as I'm concerned, he has no authority to do that. He has no authority to have his finger on the steering wheel. Not of this government. And he's laughing because, aha, I control those guys. Folks, they control the guys in your state, they're controlling the guys in your county, and they're controlling the guys at the federal level. And it all started at the federal level with the British. In 1870, in the election of 1870, the British got enough people into office to actually create the Organic Act of 1871. When was that Organic Act talked about and passed? February 21st, 1871. They already had the plan. They knew exactly what they needed to do to basically start moving us, and it was a learning process because even they didn't understand the Constitution and some of the problems it posed, which is why it took them all this time. Folks, we're looking at almost 150 years, over 150 years when they started this revolution. They would have toppled us a lot sooner if they could have. There's no doubt in my mind they wanted to seize all these powers. But they needed more and more technology to get into place so that they could seize that control. And so, sorry about, you know, what seems to be the conspiracy theory, but let me kind of give you the current pricing, as we see before, on the gold and silver and those types of prices, because it's that time of the year, or actually that time of the week, when I actually give you those prices. And so when I look at, where is Monex? There's Monex right there, because I just look at the pricing. They have the live prices there. So gold is now at 1968. So it's a little down from what it used to be. It was actually 1966 earlier yesterday. So, and silver's today it is $24.49. It was down a little bit from there, so because it was $24.99 and it went up, and then I think it's, you know, actually went down a little further. So anyway, it's still reasonable to get some, even though Fed now went live this past week. Yeah, it's almost been a week now. So Fed now is live, and nobody sees this as, you know, what the heck's going on. Cover yourself. Don't get yourself overly vested. As I tell people, probably the most valuable commodity you're going to need are the things that you need from day to day: food, water, you know, medicine, whatever. You know, go have an honest conversation with your doctor. If you actually live in a flyover state and you have an old time doctor, and you talk and you say, hey, you know, this medication is really kind of important, and it's nice to have this 90 days thing, but if we can't get medication because it's coming from China, I'd appreciate it if you'd, you know, write me a script and I'll go pay out of pocket and buy, you know, whether it's a thyroid medication that you really need, you know, certain things you really need. And it's not really federally controlled because it's not a narcotic. Have some conversations if you can trust your doctor to say, can you give me a script so that I can just buy this, so that I have a little buffer, so I always have at least 90 days on top of my 90-day script, which gives you about a half a year. And so if you and your experience with pharmacies and pharmaceutical companies is like ours, you know, there's always a lapse. There's always this lapse. And I would just tell the doctor that, you know, this actually helps me cover that lapse, because it's not uncommon that I go a week without this medication. And that shouldn't be happening. You know, it actually should be getting better and better. Oh, they're going to mail it to you. And that doesn't work. And oh, by the way, if you're getting your medication in the mail, folks, and it's sitting out in your mailbox all day in the heat or in the cold, those extreme temperatures can actually change the molecular structure of that medication. So, I mean, do the research on, you know, what are the, you know, the storage proceedings and so forth. And I would actually start, there needs to be litigation to stop this forcing of mail. You know, it's one thing if it's safe. It's one thing if you have the ability. But to force you into using mail prescription, that's just wrong. Just absolutely wrong. So anyway, before I get into Larry Elder, we kind of covered Doug Burgum. You know, he's a globalist. He is credentialed and proven as a globalist. I mean, he's in bed with Gates and the rest of them. Christie, he's again proven a rhino. He's credentialed with the globalists. Ron DeSantis, he's got signs. He's definitely credentialed as a politician. He's not, I wouldn't necessarily say he's a rhino, but, you know, he may be, you know, that conservative demigod that the RNC would probably like to see, you know, getting rid of Trump, or at least taking Trump off the ballot. Nikki Haley, not qualified, no point in going beyond that. She is not qualified. Now, folks, when people say, oh, well, look, you know, they're allowing anchor babies. They're allowing, you know, people like her, like Obama, as legitimate naturalized citizens. Folks, when you look at what it took to become a naturalized citizen, they did not consider the child that was born to whether they were here legally or not, foreigners in the United States on visas or what have you, and they were still subject to the jurisdiction of a foreign state, that child being born was also subject to that foreign state. The child always goes, because if not, if that child became a citizen, when those parents leave, the child would stay here. And that is just antithetical to the fabric of society. That the child does not become a citizen until they reach a certain age. And at that point in time, they actually acquire the citizenship from their parents based on who they are subjected to by jurisdiction. If the jurisdiction is to a foreign state at that time, then that child needs to be naturalized. And Nikki Haley never naturalized. And that's the same thing with the Swami guy. The Vivek Ramaswamy, he is not qualified either. The 14th Amendment was clear. They had laws on immigration that child had to go through a naturalization process. It was done by the Supreme Court, and I believe it was in the 70s or the 80s when the Supreme Court basically came down and said, you know, we allow anchor babies. If it's true, if somebody wants to come here and have a child, that child becomes a U.S. citizen. And, you know, the Supreme Court has also extended the rights of citizenship. In other words, the civil rights of your right to due process and everything else, they've extended that to foreigners. It's clear the Constitution is only applicable to, and so in other words, the civil rights are only applicable to U.S. citizens. We can't grant citizenship to the whole world, whether they're here or not. We can't do it. And this is how nations are destroyed when they create laws like this. And the guys, I couldn't even tell you the names of the judges, but I know this happened. And these people that have done this, the blood is on their hands. They're doing everything they can to destroy the sovereignty of this nation. So back through the overview here. Nikki Haley, no point in talking. Will Hurd, this guy is a former CIA active. And he still has ties to that. He is a deep state politician. Shouldn't even be a consideration. Should not. Anybody that understands the Republican race and so forth, the only reason he's in there is to appeal to those who don't even acknowledge that the deep state exists. In other words, they're not real Republicans. They're just moderates. and they just go with the flow. Asia Hutchinson, globalist, credentialed politician, proven, you know, Bush globalist. I mean, he got to the HHS. The Department of Homeland Security under Bush. And so Mike Pence, he's a treasonous expletive. This guy committed treason, and he actually wants the Republican Party ticket? That's a bad indictment on the Republican Party, that they're even entertaining, that they can even keep and use the name Republican Party, especially for what he did. Tim Scott, the only thing I have is that this man, I think he's a decent man, and he's a creature of the swamp. He is a politician, And he, and if you look at his platform and the things he wants to talk about, he wants to use government in the wrong ways. He doesn't believe in a limited and defined government. You know, it's so refreshing when we have, you know, good politicians. It's just that the bad thing is that they have completely drank the Kool-Aid and accept. They accept this unconstitutional government and are willing to go whatever direction. Like Will Hurd basically says, I'm ready to go big and go outside the Constitution to do what we need to get done. Well, Scott's in that same position. Scott's really, really doing that same thing. And so, sorry about the phone ring. I forgot to do a sweep today, just between you and me. Anyway, Corey Stapleton, proven rhino. Mike Pence is not just, you know, a treasonous, but he's obviously a clear rhino. But Corey Stapleton is a proven rhino, and actually, he did what needed to be done in the 2020 election in Montana. He is not a Republican. He's the guy that actually helped facilitate those three electors that came out of Montana to basically, you know, undermine the election system of Montana. Shouldn't even be a consideration. Francis Suarez, how did this guy even become a Republican? His father was a hardcore Democrat. And as a matter of fact, his father wasn't just a Democrat, but he was a migrant from Cuba, which a lot of Cubans are there in that area. And so he lives in Dade County, the most corrupt county in the elections over the past two decades. Remember the 2000 election, Dade County? And there have been other elections that are equally bad that, you know, have been out of Dade County. Come on. This guy's not even a real serious consideration. And what really, I got to tell you this, Vivek Ramaswamy, however to properly pronounce it, because I'd like to properly pronounce it, not only is he not qualified, but this is kind of scary because there's lots of young kids that do not understand that he's not qualified. They, you know, I actually piped up in the Young Americans Foundation on social media and I said, this guy is not a candidate. And then they blocked me. And I explained constitutionally why, and I cited and they said exactly, you know, hey, his parents had to be under the jurisdiction of the United States. And when they're still under jurisdiction of a foreign nation and foreign visitors, they have no rights and their children cannot be children of their citizens. This anchor baby thing became legislation from the bench. And you know, folks, legislation from the bench has been a huge proponent in the globalist state and destroying our Constitution. We're going to create a petition on this so that everybody else can, you know, kind of look at and kind of understand, you know, just how important this is. Now, Larry Elder, I've actually, you know, stuck my neck out to say he's probably the most amenable, the most approachable. He may be compromised. There may be some ties somehow, but between him and Tim Scott, you know, the problem is that we don't have anybody. There's not one person, folks, on that ticket that is standing on the Constitution. So here's my go back on Romney. I remember vividly, and I can still see Romney citing the Constitution when he was on the Sean Hannity, when he was basically becoming the nominee, on his way to becoming the nominee. And the RNC was doing everything they could not to allow him to get elected. And it was about the Constitution. And as far as I was concerned, he was saying the right things. And then all of a sudden, Rick Perry actually said the right thing about Social Security. And I was really impressed with Rick Perry. But then all of a sudden, when the newscasters challenged him from the last comments from the last debate, said, do you really think that Social Security is unconstitutional? And he backpedaled. When a politician backpedals, it's either because they've been leveraged, they've been compromised, or they are Well, I guess either way, they've compromised, because when you compromise your position on the Constitution, when you compromise whether something is constitutional or not, then you've clearly dove into the arms of those who want to, you know, push away, destroy, discard, and push America into the arms of the globalists. So who is it? Who is it we're going to vote for? Now, I'm not going to put my name on the ticket, but people need to start demanding that we actually have a constitutional candidate run. Now, I haven't been impressed with, you know, the Constitutional Party or the Libertarian Party. I've yet to be impressed by anybody, their ability to speak about the Constitution. So this is why, if you look at what I've been doing on Mondays during my special episodes on, you know, what America needs out of a constitutional president and what a true constitutional president would do. Now, we're coming close to the end of that. We're heading into July, or actually finishing July and heading into August next week. And so my point is this. You can download. I'm going to actually put the content of, you know, the bullets of what I basically had said in those episodes, so that everybody can kind of have this little punch list, or this, you know, these are things that, you know, we need to be seeing and expecting. We need to see somebody say, I'm going to shut down Fed now. We're going to shut down the Fed. We're going to actually start going down this path of not executing unconstitutional laws. And I'm going to appeal to the states to actually take back all of their powers and permanently shut down the Leviathan and get their general government to actually serving this republic instead of serving the globalist and the communist revolution throughout the world and here in America. That's what has to happen, folks. We need a leader, and I'm telling you, anybody that takes that position will be in the crosshairs of the globalist every second they're breathing. And we need many leaders to actually stand up and say, I'm willing to die. I am willing to die for this cause of liberty. And so, you know, let the bodies add up. But bottom line, we need people, and this is what America needs. America, if we consider our liberties precious, and we actually look at the treasure that we have within this Constitution, then there's no other way to do this. There is no other way. We have to do this. Now, Larry Elder, you know, the one thing, getting into the details of him, the one thing that's a red flag with him, as well as everybody else, is he was a practicing lawyer. And he practiced from 1980 to 1987, and he owned his own legal firm up until 1995. And it was in the late 80s when he actually started going down the commentary and actually started writing. And I've read a couple of his books, and I like the way he thinks. He thinks antithetical to the woke society and everything else, and I think he's a good man. I think that Tim Scott's a good man. But they're not speaking to the Constitution. In other words, and you know what? It wouldn't take long. It would not take long for them to really understand these lanes in the road. Enumerated powers, enumerated roles, enumerated responsibilities, enumerated properties. That's it. That's all they can do. It's a contract, folks. If it's not in the contract, they can't do it. They can't even entertain issues and controversies over things not in that compact. The judiciary is tied to only things arising under that Constitution. And then things dealing with, you know, the emissaries and foreign nations and so forth. To be clear, when a treaty comes along and there's a dispute in the treaty, the judiciary should actually look at jurisdiction and say, we're looking at this and we see this treaty, and even though you passed it, it's unconstitutional. Where in the Constitution does the federal government have the enumerated powers to subjugate itself to the UN? It doesn't. If you want to subjugate the states and the United States to the UN, you need those states to give you that authority. We can't rule in this. This is unconstitutional, and that treaty is unconstitutional. Wow. People actually toting the line. I mean, these are epiphanies for some people, but I don't think these are epiphanies for most of the people that listen to this show. I do know that God knew everything that we were going to have to suffer through, and he gave us everything we need in this Constitution to be able to take back every foot of real estate they've stolen from us. Every dollar, every ounce of gold, we can take it all back. And actually, the way to do that is by unleashing the Constitution. Go listen to my presidential series. I really talk about how a president does have power because his job is to faithfully execute the laws. And if there are laws that are not pursuant to the Constitution, he can literally say, this is unconstitutional. I don't care if that president signed it. We need to talk to that president. We need to dig him up and burn him in effigy. Wow. I mean, that's going well beyond. I would not do that. I would basically say, you know what? We've had a lot of people sell us downriver, and they did it without the authority to do that. And we have to undo all of that. If you want justice, if you want to feel better, then start digging people up and start hanging people. I believe we need to get it right. We need to start moving forward because time is of the essence. We only have so much time. Time is finite. We only have so much time to do this. And I get poked in the eye a lot by, you know, friends and or people I mentor. And they say, you know, you say we don't have any time. You said that, you know, by this point in time, no, I've never given any day, any time. I am basically, I'll kind of give you some generals, but I'm not trying to play prophet here. I'm not trying to do anything like that. You know, if you're looking for spiritual guidance and somebody that speaks on the spiritual plane, you know, it's not that I'm not on that plane. I'm not here to speak on the spiritual plane. I'm here to speak on what we need to do to actually reclaim this republic. We have the ability, we have the power, it is all in our hands. And so this has nothing to do with salvation. This has everything to do with restoring this constitutional republic, this hybrid constitutional republic that God gave us. And I think he's going to bless us because he wants us to do this. There's no doubt in my mind. I actually see his kingdom is based on liberty. Liberty is integral to salvation. How could we think otherwise? And this is why he's constantly blessed those who pursued liberty. And if you look at all of the peaceful, you know, transitions of government from the Magna Carta, or even the transition of going away from, you know, the Catholic doctrine into the Reformation of Christianity. And it continued and continued. Folks, what we have here is the golden opportunity to actually get right. And we have the opportunity to actually bring this to the children. Because remember, innate within the children is the desire to rebel against their parents and the establishment. And they love the truth to do that. They love being right. Let's give them the truth. Let's give them the cause. And I believe this what we see as a geriatric movement will actually be the movement of the youth. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.